guys, welcome to Vaudeville. I'm here with a special guest who's going to just introduce us to a special topic. I'm here with
Nate.
Yay!
Yeah.
I've only known Nate for like a month.
Yeah, pretty much.
But today we're going to talk about something interesting. What are we going to talk about, Nate?
We're talking about my experience being an Afro-Latino or a Latinx or a Latina person in society.
Yes, it's an interesting topic and a fascinating topic. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. So, Nate, first question. What makes one an Afro-Latino?
Oh, well, I'm sure a lot of people have different definitions for it, but I would say being an Afro-Latino is a hybrid of being both in the Latino, Latinx community or being in the Black community as well. So kind of having ties in both ends.
That's interesting. And actually, that's fascinating because, like, the way you talk about it makes it less concrete, like a certain, like, oh, you have to have indigeneity in this country or, you know, indigeneity in that country. And you have to have, like, maybe your family, like, be slaves who came to this other country and worked, you know, that whole thing. Because according to Miriam Roman and Juan Flores, they said the short answer for an Afro-Latina belongs to both groups. They are people of African descent in Mexico, Central and South America, and the Spanish-speaking Caribbean, and by extension, those of African descent in the United States, whose origins are in the Latin American and the Caribbean. And they also added to that in another of their works, which was called the Triple Consciousness. What does the term Afro-Latino mean in the U.S. context? First of all, and most obviously, it refers to Latinos of visible and or self-proclaimed African descent. Do you agree in any sense to any of those definitions? Like, it's really when you talk about the African descent part.
100% I agree with that. I think a big part of my identity as an Afro-Latino male is having that African descent, is knowing that my ancestors were brought over to the Caribbean on a slave ship and were there and eventually got mixed in with the native people and the Spaniards that occupied the Caribbean. And, you know, down the line, here I am. It's my belief that that is a big definition of being Afro-Latino, is having those African roots, but also having those connections to the Latin communities or the cultures that you find yourself in, or the Spanish-speaking people that you find yourself around. But always knowing that you can follow your lineage back to someone of African descent.
You say Afro-Caribbean, specifically in the Caribbean. So, like, what country are you from?
My family's from Puerto Rico.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My mom's side is Puerto Rican. And so that's a whole mix of people in themselves, the Taínos, the native people, the African people, and then the Spaniards that occupied and brought the African people over. So it's really just like this mutt hybrid breed of people in Puerto Rico, but there is still that lineage there. And you can tell it in my skin and my nose. And, you know, to a person that isn't as educated and knows that, I'm sure they're just going to take a look at me and be like, this is a Black guy or this is a Mexican person, even though I'm not. But it's one of those things that you kind of just learn to live with.
That's interesting. So, like, based on this definition, I kind of, because I'm dealing with, like, focusing on three people in Hollywood, and they are all from different, or actually their Afro-Latinaness is, like, from different lineage from yours, mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah.
I'll start, like, with Zoe Saldana, which is very concretely in the Dominican. Her family is from, both parents are Dominicans. She's Afro-Latina because she's Dominican.
Right.
But then you move to someone who is, like, Cardi B, whose father is Dominican, but her mother is from Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also this whole thing of, like, Cardi B always saying that, oh, yeah, her mother was actually Afro-Latina in Trinidad, which kind of, like, destroys people's concept of what Trinidad is, because, like, Trinidad's, like, mostly Black Caribbeans.
Mm-hmm.
And having her say that her mother was, like, Afro-Latina in Trinidad, that brings a new concept to it. But then another layer of that is someone like Lupita Nyong'o, whose parents are not Latinx or Latino in any sense. They're both Kenyans. Her father taught in Mexico, and that's where she was born, in Mexico. But she lived there till she was 3 and then moved back to Kenya and then moved to the United States. So in a sense, a lot of people argue she really Latina that because like she only lived there since she was 3, but she has like Mexican citizenship. She speaks fluent Spanish. So does that remove from her Latinaness or not? Like how do you, someone like all these 3 different people, like maybe start with someone who's like Zoe Saldana, who's like rooted in like that like Dominican culture. You can talk about that in your face, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that we were talking about Zoe right before the mic came on and how it really was her break in Colombiana that people kind of focused on her Latinaness and just being so rooted in the Dominican culture. I'm sure there's a lot of audiences in the States and worldwide that look at Zoe and automatically classify her as a Black actress or as a, or maybe sometimes even just like a Latina actress. But to be so rooted in both of that, I'm just kind of excited to see, like, just hopefully a Colombiana but fully Dominican type film, you know?
Dominicana,
yeah, exactly.
But the whole thing about her is slightly controversial in a lot of senses. I would say, like, I would give, like, a sense of preface. She started out acting a lot of Black roles. Her name wasn't Zoe Saldana, it was Zoe Saldana. Moving that Nia from her name, making it more westernized, or not even westernized, more American.
Sure, yeah.
And like, there was this whole controversy that came out because people, like I said, I grew up watching her like on telly outside of Colombiana and thought she was a Black woman. She was just African American Black woman. And then the whole thing about her being Colombian, I was like, wait a minute, a Black woman acting as a Latina? Interesting. But then I did research and also I found that she wasn't. She's Afro-Latina. So she is Black and Latina. And then with that coming up, a lot of people will look back, like, I think it was 2016 or 2015, that they did a biopic on Nina Simone. And she put on, like, blackface. Let me see if I can find the description of this. So Nina was written and directed by the filmmaker Cynthia Mort, who now has issues with like accepting that movie. So someone like Zoe Saldana has had Dominican, Puerto Rican, Haitian, and Lebanese roots. She's kind of like a mix of it, but mostly rooted Dominican roots. But in Nina Simone, she put on blackface. This is from Blackface Bamboozled and Zoe Saldana. And she put on prosthetic nose to make her nose more African-American. Because you see her features and say that she's dark-skinned, so she's Afro-Latina, but her nose brings, there's this Latina-ness in her nose. Like, her features are very Latina and Afro in that mix, but she didn't have Nina Simone's nose, because Nina Simone is African-American. Mm-hmm. And they put, like, prosthetics on it, and they painted her dark. So I don't know, like, what do you think? What's your take on that? Because it's kind of like she is Black, in a sense, like, she's Afro-Latina, but, like, putting on blackface as a Black woman, how does that play into the whole controversy of the discussion?
Yeah, well, I think one thing that I have to remind myself is that it wasn't probably Zoe's choice at the end of the day. Like, there were a lot of people that helped make that decision before that even got on her. Mm-hmm. Like, as an actor, there are designers, there are directors, there are all these people that have to make these choices for that change to make place. And you got to think about, okay, if there's a lot of people that have to make those choices, who are making those choices before it gets to Zoe? And so even when all those people did decide that this is a good idea and it gets to Zoe, you know, that's a really tricky thing. I mean, I think that's now teetering into the whole colorism aspect of being not even just in the Afro-Latinx community, but in the Black community. It's just what colorism means to be a lighter Black person or a darker Black person. Would this conversation, like, if you were a strictly 100% Black person but light skin, is making your tone darker to portray someone darker than you in a movie, is that blackface on a Black person? And is that wrong? Or is it for movie magic making them darker? That's a question that I find myself having to ask myself all the time. There's a difference between, like, I understand that people want to portray these figures accurately, but then as a designer, director, you see an actor like, I want this person. How do I make this happen? That's a conversation that I'm sure was had. And that's, does that answer the question, kind of?
Yeah, but there were like a lot of issues. Like people are like, oh, why didn't they get on my Viola Davis, who's a well-known like black actress who has those features that will be painted herself black. And maybe it's just a little bit makeup here and there that will expand it without like putting on blackface. Like, so it's like, oh, maybe she was the best person for the roles. But the issue is like, you know, the whole thing about colorism and like Hollywood kind of making it seem like, you know, black people now are like lighter skinned than they should be. A lot darker people are put on the side for roles. And so that also brings that into conversation. But like, even like now, Zoe Saldana is known for two movies mostly, Avatar and Guardians of the Galaxy. And none of them show her color. She's green and she's blue in those films.
True.
So it does kind of tell, like, is she trying to go away from the idea of like that Afro-Latinaness and move to something different to which like her race isn't considered? Because like they did like a survey for this study, which was called Zoe Saldana or Zoe Saldana Cinematic Dominican Needed and Hollywood Stars. They did like a survey in which they asked a lot of Dominicans in New York if they considered though Zoe Saldana, well, Zoe Saldana, because that's what she went with before, Dominican or Hispanic, and they were like, no, like she's just a black woman, and they didn't want to accept her because they were like, she didn't act, and this was before Colombia, she didn't act any roles that portrayed that Latinness. So I don't know how I feel, but it could also be in a sense of like Dominican, I'm sorry, but Dominicans in New York try to run away from blackness too much, and I feel like even if she acted Colombiana, they'll still say no, because they are trying to move away from that blackness of their, they would like to stay in this space of, oh, I'm Hispanic, I'm a Latina, I'm a Latino, rather than going like either white or black, they like to stay in that middle. But yes, talking about like her choosing or her being picked for roles that paint her whole body, and we don't know exactly what she is, how do you like come in consensus with something like that?
Well, I think that's also an interesting question, but a lot to consider is that, I mean, these are movies that she was colored in, but this is also multi-million, billion-dollar movies where if someone waved a contract in my face that offered me all that type of money and like reoccurring roles down the line with Avatar 2, I don't know if she's going to return or any other Guardians of the Galaxy appearances, she's locked down a something that is a really good career move for her. So is it abandoning her black skin? I could see where people would think that. Is she making a career move? I would say that's absolutely more in my opinion that
it's also like, you know, a lot of people like to find I was saying people like to try to find issues. It's just like they were like, oh, she married an Italian guy. That's interesting. She married a whole white man. That's interesting. She really moving away from this blackness that she's, or Afro-Latinaness that she's. I remember she was telling that, oh, her kids speak Italian. Kids are little kids. Oh, I don't know if she said anything about them speaking Spanish because her husband is Italian. So I was like, sis. We need to try that. But I don't know, like, obviously I'm not in the house, I don't know what's going through her head, but I don't, like, me personally, I don't feel like she's running away from that. I feel she's currently accepting him because she has changed her name from Zoe Saldana, which she was well known for pre-Colombiana, to Zoe Saldana, making sure that her Latinaness is being brought forth into discussion.
Yeah,
and I think Loki, she's doing a great job. It's just that, you know, I would like to see more roles in which she actually has to balance both.
Yeah.
I seem like she has to pick a side. Oh, I'm a Latina here, or I'm black here, you know, all those kind of things. Like, for you, what does that mean for you, like, as an Afro-Latino? Like, is there a border in which, like, you feel like you're treading upon?
You know, I think culturally I was raised a little bit more Latino. But there are still aspects that bleed into both communities. I'm also Ecuadorian, so I have a lot of Ecuadorian cultural roots upbringing, and a lot of most of my family, actually, I'm the only like generation of who's dark skinned. So a lot of my Ecuadorian family is light skinned, and that's always painted an interesting topic of discussion. Of even my siblings, both of my siblings are fairer skinned, and so it's just me and my mom, the dark ones, which is really interesting. Yeah, it's always been like I'm too black to be Latino, or I'm too Latino to be black, and so I find myself always in the middle, really just hanging out with family, people that kind of know what that's like. But it's always interesting to find someone else that's in that same Afro-Latino boat to just kind of nod and be like, okay, I understand. I get what this means to feel not black enough to be black or not Latino enough to be Latino. But one benefit that I don't know if many people talk about is the fact that in settings that I have to play both, I could always lean one more way or the other way if I ever need to, if I'm in a situation. Although I feel like I am just left of center for black or Latino, I could always, people know it, but people also can respect me as a member of both of those communities when I show that I am one of the people in those communities, if that makes sense. Yeah. If I speak their language, not physically, but if I literally walk the walk, talk the talk, leaning one way or the other, it usually is a benefit for me. And so it, as much as a detriment it could be, I could also be much of, it could be a positive thing sometimes too, to have that fluidity, to be like, you know, no, if I'm going to an event, I don't necessarily feel 100% out of place if I'm in an all black community or I'm in all Latino community. There is a little bit discomfort always, but I could always, there's something about finding myself in those communities that I'm like, I share that with you. I understand what you're talking about here, or I share this also similarity. Let's talk about this. That's a benefit for me, and always has been. That makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. So in a sense, you feel like you benefit more from leaning one way or the other sometimes?
I find myself just kind of in the middle of the both of them. I actually went to a predominantly black and brown high school where a lot of it was Hispanic or Latino kids, and a lot of the other ones, half of it pretty much was black students. And I would find myself in the middle. However, there wasn't a side that I can get less with, if that makes sense. I could always approach my black friends and it'd be fine, or I could always approach my Latino friends and it'd be fine, because there happens to be some of that, like, I'm one of you type conversations. That makes sense.
Yeah, in a sense, I will like ask you this follow-up question, but like, it's sense there is this, I feel like, a border in Hollywood where they're creating this border between both sides. And like, I'm going to quote like Anza Dua, La Frontera, which says, the borders and walls that are supposed to keep the undesirable idea out are entrenched habits and patterns of behaviors. These habits and patterns are the enemy within, called, as said, rigidity means death, in which like, I feel like Hollywood portrays, in which like, for example, Zoe Saldana felt this need to be, take a side. Mm-hmm. Let's move to Cardi B.
Sure.
Cardi B. So Cardi B's case is that, like you said, you feel like you are too black to be considered Hispanic. And a lot of people think you are too black to be considered Hispanic and too light to be considered black, or in that case of Cardi B, who's in that situation. And I feel a lot of it is due to Hollywood's portrayal of the Latin look. Let me just define that a little bit before we go deeper into that. So the Latin look said there's a generic or pan-Hispanic look, as well as universal Spanish, is a view that is shared or taken for granted by almost everyone I talk to in the industry, from producers to casting directors to creatives. And so there's this like belief behind these recommendations, how it understands the practice of casting whiter Latinas, as a casting director tried to always tired of always being asked for light-skinned Latinas. But then further describe the idea of the Latin look being olive skin, dark hair, dark features on a person but has brown skin. And someone like Cardi B, one will say that she kind of fits a little bit in that olive mess, but she's always surrounded by black people in a very predominantly black industry. So people say things like, do not say the N-word, that she has to justify, like, hey, I am black, so I can say the N-word. So, like, what's your take on someone like Cardi B, who, like, in a sense, she's in that border, but she's in an industry that's predominantly black, and so she has to tilt more towards that border. Like I remember my professor telling us that there are only two Spanish songs that Cardi B as well sang in Spanish, Taki Taki and I Like It, Like, I Like It. The rest of the songs are in English. Throwing around the words, the N-word, like that, like, seems like, you know, to tend towards more black, but I feel like it's because of the industry she's in, like, in the, like, we looked at Zoe Saldana, and, like, you know, having an Italian husband, and then someone like Cardi B has Offset, who's a black man, as a husband, and someone like, so, like, what's, like, your take on that? Because she has really gone on Twitter, almost, she will have confidence, like, every 6 months, I have to come here and tell you guys that I am black and have Hispanic, and, like, I am an Afro-Latina. So, like, how would you look more into something like that?
Wow, yeah. Well, the whole Twitter is also, you're absolutely right, it's torn up about this question every time. Just is, yeah, who's allowed to say the N-word and who isn't? I mean, again, if your definition of who's allowed to say the N-word is someone who finds himself, who is black and finds himself in the black community, if Cardi B is black and we have, and there are pictures and there is photographs and there is evidence that she has black parents, but and is raised and has evidence that she was raised in black communities and Latino communities, why shouldn't she be able to say things like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion. I'm sure there are a lot of people that disagree with me, but again, if you, yeah, I mean,
as an Afro Latino, do you say N-word?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Every person I don't say, because I was like, I'm African, so I believe that my ancestors were not brought here, or they never said the word towards them. They were never in a slave situation where the word was yelled at them. So I feel like I have no space or place to say that. Me personally, as someone who's more like more of a black immigrant than an African American or Afro anything sense. So I don't say the N-word, I kind of skip it, but I totally understand, like, someone like Cardi B, who societally, she doesn't look, you know, she doesn't look, quote-unquote, what people say, she doesn't look black, but is from predominantly in the black industry, and where, like, people are, like, a lot of non-black people are trying to come into, and, like, they are now white rappers who are throwing around the N-word, like, it's free for all.
Yeah.
And which is annoying the black community, because it's not their word to say it. It wasn't said to their ancestors, so you have no right to say it. So that's kind of like where things stand with someone like Cardi B. Have you ever been in a situation where you have to lean more, quote unquote, towards a blackness or towards that? Because I know you said you're more leaning towards the Latino side because you're Ecuadorian and, like, you're surrounded by more lighter skinned Latinos. So,
yeah.
For you, is there any situation where you had to, like, feel like you felt to switch?
Sure, absolutely. It's not like I don't have any of, like, my black Afro-Latino families around, because I see that frequently too. It's just, I saw my other grandmother a little more.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of mentioning it earlier. It's kind of an advantage to find myself in situations where I can lean either one way or the other way. I guess it's just the way I kind of learned and taught myself how to navigate these spaces. But once I start talking to people in either community, it's really easy for me to find similarities and commonalities. I don't even know if that's the right word. Between us. And so I find myself, like, connecting that way, or a lot of people just kind of take my attitude about things, my speech, in a positive way. So that's kind of where I'm a little biased. But for example, when I personally have leaned into my Latino-ness was when I was auditioning for these theater companies, and there was a bunch of representatives there, and I made sure to, I don't normally have an accent in my last name. It is a very Hispanic sounding last name, if I were to say it. But I put an accent mark in my last name on my resume because a lot of these theater companies were looking for roles to fill diversity spots. And B, a lot of them had directors, creative directors that were not either Black or Hispanic. So playing the field of being seen as a quote darker person of not a white person, like a person of color on stage as an actor, but seeing my last name as a Hispanic last name. That's when I was kind of hoping that, again, it sounds like it sometimes it could be a disadvantage, but it was more of an advantage for me to lean both those ways because I am both of those things. And it worked out. It worked out in my favor. I got contacted by theater companies who wanted to fill roles.
But it's good that you have the opportunity to, in a sense of being that middle or being that border and still find success, because it seems like obviously it didn't work for Zoe Saldana in the beginning. And then someone like Hadbi, who's now leaning more towards the even though she calls herself Trap Selena. Like in a very predominantly Black industry. So there's this like lean towards Blackness, what we consider Black culture. And then we're slowly moving on to Lupita Nyong'o, which has this a lot more complicated. She's in the Black Panther movie, amazing, did a great job. But she was more concerned on the, you know, because it's like Wakanda versus the Talukans. And so the Talukans represented this, the Hispanic community, and then Wakanda represented the African Black community. And she was on the African Black side, you know. But in a sense, a lot of people have questioned, like sometimes people say, oh, Lupita Nyong'o is Mexican. So I'm like, that's a lie. She's like a whole Black person, and her name is not Mexicanense, is Nyong'o, which is Kenyan. But origin, but like in a sense, her own experience is like she, like I said, she left Mexico when she was 3 years old, but she speaks very fluent Spanish. So do you consider her as almost like an Afro Latina?
Yes, absolutely. Just going back to the definition of having that African descent, like ancestry, and also having that. Those Latin ties. And even though her parents were both Kenyan, you said? If you didn't know that before and you knew her name was Lupita and she was born in Mexico and she spoke Spanish, I'm pretty sure many people would be like, oh yeah, that's, I'm picturing a Mexican woman in my mind. Her name is Lupita, she was born in Mexico. There are a lot of Lupitas that were born in Mexico. And I mean, if you're picturing a Hispanic or a Mexican woman, what, when you think of Lupita, like that doesn't make her any less Hispanic. The fact that she has Kenyan parents, it's kind of more of a blessing, an opportunity for her.
Yeah. I will kind of quote from, there's this reading called Performing Label, Performing Representation Label by Julianne Baez, which focus mostly on like Amara La Negra, if you know her. She's this Black woman with giant Afro. She's an Afro Latina and very proud about it. I think she was a lot of hip hop too. But it said Amara La Negra always positions herself as part of the African diaspora, a move that marks her distinctly as Black and departs from early representation of Afro Latinas. That sidesteps race or performance is sanitized Blackness that is more in alignment with discourse of racial ambiguity so prevalent in Latin America and Latinx media. So someone like they said, Amara La Negra, even though she's like very like, oh, I'm Afro-Latina, there's this like shift to Blackness because of how she looks. They say with Lupita Nyong'o, who is very dark-skinned, very proud of it, has appeared in people's videos, like Beyonce's video, talking about brown skin girls. And she is proud of her. Definitely, she was in films that mostly by African or African American people, like 12 Years a Slave, you know, those kind of films. And so, like, and like films by Jordan Peele, which is like Us and those things. And so, in a sense, a lot of people have questioned, oh, she's Kenyan, she's Mexican. The Kenyans are like, she's Kenyan, full Kenyan. Parents are Kenyans. And like, you have already like done the whole argument for her, listen. Because he said she is Afro-Latina, so she is Kenyan, Mexican. Mexican, Kenyan. Anyone that comes first. That could be a whole debate in itself.
Oh, yeah.
It's called a whole lot of commotion. She is Mexican, Kenyan. No, she's Kenyan, Mexican. But she has come out to say that she is both. She is both Kenyan, she's both Mexican, because there's a whole deal about arguing about where she lies. And normally in all her films that she's in, she has never spoken Spanish until Wakanda Forever, where she had a little scene where she was speaking to a woman from, I think, the Yucatan, and she spoke Spanish to that lady. But yeah, she points out, I just want to point out, like, she has obviously mostly black roles, but this has also diverted a little bit to the Wakanda film, which, looking at blackness, because that's the issue with this whole Afro-Latina thing, and why people feel like they're in this border. Because in a lot of senses, places like, for example, Brazil, outside of Nigeria, which is the most populated country in Africa, Brazil has the most black people in the world. Number two, which is interesting, right?
I did not know that.
Yes, but the issue is because they highlight a lot of their whiteness, or the black people are more suppressed. And that's in a lot of Latin American countries like Mexico and those other countries, because they are more or less highlighting the lighter skinned people. The paler you are, the mm-hmm. more successful you'll be. The darker you are, they put that into like something like poverty. So there's this huge colorism mm-hmm. in Latin America. And this colorism was shown in, and I feel like that's why a lot of Afro, like someone like Zoe Saldana, Uta Nyong'o, Inkendo, even Cardi B, who's in the world, have to lean into this blackness first. Because in a sense, they feel like that's a little bit more accepting of who they, like, their color and, or who they look like, than their Latinaness. Because it feels like those Latin American countries do not want to accept them. It's just, yeah, it's this move to more Eurocentric looks that is causing a lot of, I feel like, Afro Latinx people to feel like, I think I need to lean more to blackness. And then when you come to blackness, they're like, hey, you're not black enough. Go and find your way.
Yeah.
So it feels like there's this no man's land occurring
mm-hmm.
for a lot of the
Afro.
What do you feel about that?
Yeah, wow. Whew. There is kind of this old no man's land where that I'm sure there's a lot of Afro-Latino professionals or actors will just say that probably get denied roles because they're not too black enough, or they're not Hispanic enough because they're either, quote, too black. But unfortunately, just going back to the discussion of, like, Latin communities always valuing people that are lighter skinned is something that even, you know, all types of Latin communities deal with. The Ecuadorian Latin community deals with, the Puerto Rican community deals with. I think that's something that's so deeply rooted into European colonization that just screwed up things for the rest of humanity, and the enslavement of African people and back then is like still something that is just has deep roots that are hard to shake, that I don't know how that's even gonna start to begin to change. There's always, I feel like there's always been a fight to be the number one minority mm-hmm. for both the black community and the Hispanic community, mm-hmm. Latino community, because I've heard there's been a bunch of, I've personally witnessed a bunch of racism from the Latin community to the black community, but I've also witnessed the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
I've witnessed a lot of black people like in school and stuff like that talk crap or racist things about the Latin community. And there's always, I feel like it's always been this race to be, like I said, the number one minority, or who's the better minority dog for the European
mm-hmm.
overlord, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And being in 2022, this whole, like, I feel like Disney's pressured to cast people that find themselves in these Black or Latin communities, but it's always going to be damned if you do, damned if you don't, because mm-hmm. there's always going to be like, well, this person doesn't look, or this person can't be because, or this person's not good enough because. It's always going to be a damned if you do, damned if you won't, that yeah. even if Disney cast a lighter Mexican person, there would have been someone on the reverse saying, this does not look like a Mexican at all. Here's what they really look like. Or here's what the... I haven't seen Wakanda Forever yet, mm-hmm. but a lot of their costume design feels like Aztec and Mayan,
yeah.
which finds themselves in Central Latin America.
Yes.
And so it's... I mean... Where is that going? There's always going to be that whole colorism thing, is basically what I'm saying. Damned yeah. if you do, damned if you won't, with Disney and companies and stuff like that, yeah. audiences.
Yeah, I do agree, because I feel like Hollywood already, they set themselves up for failure right from the start
mm-hmm.
by distinguishing lightness and darkness. Very, like, if you look at old Hollywood, if you're not of this skin color level, then you're probably going to be cast as the driver, the maid, the butler.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be light on above. So, like, even like, so I recently found out that someone like Rita Hayworth, who was a well-known silent movie in the 30s, 40s, was actually a Mexican woman who had to change her name, lean more into whiteness to get roles. So I feel like that distinguishing part already set, Hollywood created a very distinct border that recently they're trying to cross, and it's causing a lot of issues. I feel like Tenochtitl is a very good person for this role. Like, look at this man. Mm-hmm. He looks very, I'm pretty sure it's Mayan that they were going for.
Yeah, right. Yeah, something like that.
He looks very Mayan. And like, even someone like wrote that with Namor, Wakanda Forever does what Latina media will not. Because current Latina media is moving more towards whiteness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're showing. Look at all the telenovelas.
Yep. Well, I've seen them.
Before you see a Black or Afro Latina or Latino, it's like you have to really search for that. And I feel like because of Hollywood has already created this like, oh, Hollywood thing, Hollywood rules, a lot of these other Latin American countries are not like depicting from that.
Yeah.
And that would take lots of years to unlearn, because now the Hollywood is unlearning. Like, they're trying to be more diverse, which yeah. they're trying so hard. In some cases, in some other cases, they really aren't really bothered. Because like someone recently brought out that, like, for example, they looked at Bollywood. If you look at Bollywood, it's mostly pale Indian people you see. But in Hollywood, representation of brown people, it is, you see people like Mindy Kaling, who's very dark.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I don't know if you watch the show, Never Have I Ever, it's mostly dark Indian people they show. So it's kind of like this weird thing, like, Hollywood is trying to change the rules they've made, but now other companies are now taking those rules and running with it, and people are finding themselves in the situation we're in right now.
Yeah.
While we're talking about the Afro-Latinx experience. So, like, in conclusion, going back to Azudowa, who talked about the borders, and to be honest, like, I won't even, like, go into it because, like, it's not related to the argument, but, like, Azudowa's takes were... controversial. But in relation to this, this borders comment goes back to it, in which, like, she says, the borders and walls that are supposed to keep the undesirable ideas out are entrenched habits and patterns or behaviors. These habits and patterns are the enemy within. Rigidity means death. There's this rigidity that Hollywood has created, and that's now the death of a lot of people. And not actual, like, physical death, but death to mostly darker skinned people who feel like they have to pick a side to be able to succeed, and leading to more issues like the Nina Simone issue, the Caribbean N-word issue. Is Lupita Nyong'o Mexican or Kenyan? We do not know. And I feel like the rigidity Hollywood has created has caused these problems.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what is your last word for the viewers?
My last word is probably, if you are Afro-Latino, Latinx, Latina, like I am, it's cool to be both. At the end of the day, I'm sure there are going to be people on both sides that look at us and be like, you don't belong. But if we kind of belong to both, and if we don't belong to any of them, then we belong to the Afro-Latino community, Latina, Latinx community, and that's like all types of people in there. Kid Cudi's in there, and Lupita and all these other people. So yeah, shout outs to the Miguel. Yeah, have you seen how Afro Latinx people are also like gorgeous? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of features that are desired from both ends that we kind of just have. So we'll keep that rocking. We're all good.
Thank you so much, Nate, for lending your voice. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.